Good morning to all of you. Listen, when I do lessons in this kind of setting, we're calling this a seminar, right? So I say that, I remind you of that, because I am happy for you to ask questions, make comments, and so forth. Generally, what I will do is I will share some things from the Bible, make some observations to focus our thoughts, and then sort of before I conclude, I'll ask you, you know, do you have any questions or thoughts or comments? And I'm not just saying that, like I'm asking you, because I welcome your questions, thoughts, and comments if you want to make them. Now, I tell people at home, if you don't say anything, I'm just going to keep talking because I have plenty to say, but I like to interact with people if they want to interact with me. We're thinking about the parables, and Jesus, the common thread in his parables is kingdom living. He would say oftentimes as he introduced the parables, the kingdom of heaven is like unto this or that. What he's trying to do is help us see some things that we may not be familiar with, right? He wants us to understand heavenly principles based upon earthly things. He says, if you can get your mind wrapped around this earthly thing, now parallel that to this heavenly thing. So coming into the kingdom of God, this is how he expects you to live, move, and operate. And last night we looked at Luke 18, the first 8 verses there, where we see the persistent widow. And what was his point? We should be persistent in prayer because God provides. You know, you may not get what you need the first time you ask, and there's a reason for that. God is long-suffering. His time is not our time. But you should be persistent, trusting in his character and knowing that he will do, wants to do, what's in your best interest. So we should be persistent in prayer. This morning, I want to think about Luke 15, a portion of it anyway, the prodigal son. Now, this is something that is very familiar to us all, but I want to think about it maybe from a perspective that we don't always think about. First, in Luke chapter 15, as the chapter begins, the Bible tells us that folks were coming to hear Jesus, and they were murmuring. Some of the Jewish leaders are coming out to hear him. Now, they're very aware of his ministry. They've heard about his teaching. They've seen it themselves, tried to undermine his influence. And now they have sort of aggregated around him, and they're murmuring. This man receives and eats with sinners. Well, what kind of person is this here? I mean, he's hanging out with the lowly people of society. We won't have anything to do with them. We are too good for them. And this man is associating with them, not out of necessity, but socially. And see, this murmuring, Jesus hears this. This murmuring, Jesus sees it in their hearts, and that provokes him to give them 3 parables. He tells them, listen, it is possible for a person to have a lost sheep. And you know what he will do if he loses the one sheep? He'll leave the ones that are secure and go and find the one that is lost. And when he finds the one that is lost, he will rejoice. There's a lady and she's got so many coins and she loses one coin. You know what preoccupies her? The one that's lost. She's got all these others, but there's one that's missing and she won't rest. She sweeps the house and turns everything over until she finds it. And when she finds it, you know what she does? She rejoices. The third parable in the chapter has to do with the prodigal son. That's the name that we have ascribed to him. But look at this with me. In Luke 15, beginning at verse number 11, says, and he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them says to his father, Father, give me the portion of your substance that falls to me, and he divides unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathers all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But when he came to himself, he says, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son says to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father says to his servants, Bring forth quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Listen to it. And they began to be merry. Here's a young man who is abiding in his father's house. He is experiencing all the blessings and the benefits of being in his father's house. But while he's in the father's house, he is dissatisfied. While he's in the father's house, he's got his eyes on the far country. And he sort of has a spirit of dissatisfaction that grows up within him because of that. This man, dissatisfied now, goes to his father and disrespects him in a profound way. There was going to be a time when this man was going to inherit one third of what his father had to leave behind. He goes to his father instead, though, and says, in effect, I would rather not wait until you die. I'm not interested in spending your last years with you. I'm not interested in sort of repaying your kindness, caring for you at the end of your life. Give me the stuff and I'll take my leave. How disrespectful is that? His father, no doubt, is disappointed at the way his son has treated him. But I want you to see what the father does. Doesn't have to, but he gives the son the portion of goods that would rightfully be his when he died. The son takes his leave. He leaves on a sour note. How is the father to feel about all of this? Listen, we find out that he's got an older brother. The Bible tells us to begin. Jesus says he had two sons. We find out that the older brother is not really happy about what is taking place. How is the older brother to be affected by all of this? You know, I wonder, did the older brother look at the younger brother and see from time to time, listen, you've got your mind out there in the wrong place. You need to come on back here and focus on what we have to do here. Listen, what are you talking about? Where are you going? If you leave, that means all of the burden of helping and taking care of the old man falls to me. Wait a minute. We have joint responsibilities around here. If you leave, that creates a greater burden for me. What are you doing? Where are you going? I mean, I don't know exactly what the older brother said, but you know, I'm sure he had an opinion about this. This younger brother doesn't care. Doesn't care about what the father thinks. Doesn't care about what the older brother thinks. Doesn't care about the servants and making sure they're properly taken care of and so forth. He leaves. Spirit of dissatisfaction. Disrespect. And then he departs. Now here's the deal. He gets out there in the far country and no doubt for some time he's enjoying himself. Bible says he consumed the father's living through riotous living of his own. While he had financial substance, he probably thought life was pretty good. There were people around. As long as he had money to spend, he was going to lead the good time. As long as there was money to spend and a good time to be had, there were people who were willing to hang on with him. Fine, good. But when the money ran out, now he finds himself destitute. See, now when the money runs out, not only does the money run out, but the friends ran out with the money. Now there's want. Now there's hard times. Now there's difficulty. What are you going to do about that? I mean, what can you do? You slapped your old man in the face. Told your brother you didn't care what he thought. Everybody who's ever done anything for you, you left them behind. Now you're in want. What are you going to do? Bible says he joins himself to a man in this far country. The man didn't care anything about him. Sends him out to feed in the fields with the pigs. Disgraces himself. Does the kind of work nobody wants to do. Does the kind of work no respecting, self-respecting Jew would ever do. Defiling himself. Going out there and work with the pigs. That's as much as I can do for you. And he had to be thankful to have that. Now, it just depends on your translation. You know, the older translations, they kind of make it sound like he would have liked to have have what the pigs had. He would fain have filled his belly with the slop that the swine did eat. But, you know, the truth is, in the Greek, what it really is saying to you is that's what he was eating. Yeah, this is how he was taking care of himself. The leftovers, the dregs, the stuff that was really fit for animals, that's what he was eating. You know what I want you to think about for a few moments this morning? You guys know what happened there. It's not a new account. You've seen it many times before. Here's what I want you to think about for a few moments. Why did this man leave? And what kept him in the far country as long as he stayed? Okay, listen, there's several things that I would point out to you. The first one I would point out to you is pleasure. If you'll take a look at Luke 15, what does it say in verse number 13? Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Not many days after, he was intoxicated with the resources that he had. He was intoxicated with the opportunity to go and live a life of sin. And as soon as he got the goods, not many days after, listen, as long as it takes for me to sort of bundle up my stuff, that's how long I'm going to be here. And then he leaves. Okay, fine. He wants to go into the far country. Why couldn't you enjoy the resources that your father has blessed you with in the father's house? You know why? Because there are rules in the father's house. You know why? Because there's expectations in the father's house. You know why? Because there are limitations in the father's house. You can enjoy all of the blessings the father has given you right there in his house, but you can't act a fool in his house. You can't break the rules in his house. Oh no, he's not going to go for anything and everything in his house. So this man, because he wanted to pleasure himself, has to leave. That's what took him away. And you know what? Notice, he did not come back before the fun ran out. Did you notice that? I mean, he leaves, and as long as he's having a good time, he's going to stay in the far country. He finally does come home, but not before the fun runs out. I just want to remind you of something. You see, why do people find themselves in a lost condition? Because sin is pleasurable. See, don't sit there and think to yourself that sin isn't a lot of fun sometimes. See, there's going to be a part of it. There's going to be a period of time where it might be enjoyable to break the rules and live a riot. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, speaking of Moses, listen, that he would not suffer the pleasures of sin for a season. He would rather be numbered with his own people, though they were being oppressed, than he would to deal with experiencing the pleasures of sin. The Bible says there are pleasures associated with living a riot. But you just can't do that in the Father's house. See? Sometimes we find ourselves outside of where the Father wants us to be because, well, it tastes good. It looks good. It feels good. Pleasure. That's what took him away, and that's what kept him away. He stayed away until the pleasure ran out. Sometimes it's just a question of the people you want to hang out with. You know, in his father's house, if he tried to bring certain people around, the father was going to cut that off. Oh, you can't bring those rascals around here. I don't like the look of those fellas. They're not welcome. No, but if you want to hang out with them, then he has to go. Sometimes it's who you hang out with. Sometimes it seems to be the case with him. It's a matter of partying and drinking and drugging and all kinds of things. When the pleasure runs out, then sometimes people might be ready to come home. Another problem he has is pride. You know, in verse number 14, look what he says. He went, when he had spent all, he arose. There arose a mighty famine in that country. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk, the slop that the swine did eat, but no man gave to him. Pride. This is what led him to demand his inheritance prematurely. Why do you say that? Listen, he thought he knew better than his father did what was best for him. if it was best for the father to give to him prematurely, the father would have initiated that. But he's thinking, listen, the old man wants me to wait, and I know most people want me to wait, but I'd be better off if I had it now. I could use it to my own benefit better than my old man can use it for my benefit. He goes to him and asks for it prematurely because, like a lot of people, he thinks he knows best. Anybody in here ever raised kids? You know, at a certain point, your kids get to a point and they just think they know better than you do. Now, listen, it's inevitable. They're just going to get to a certain age and they'll hear you talking and they'll try to be respectful. But you know what? They'll be thinking the old man doesn't know what he's talking about. The lady's lost it. I know about this better than she does, better than he does. That is pride, and that happens to all of us. That's what happened to this man. So now he is in the far country languishing and perishing. And it says he joins himself to a citizen of that country. The word there means glued. He attached himself. He committed himself to a heathen. Oh, why did you do that? It was his pride. Why do I say that? Because when he swallowed his pride, when he humbled himself, then he was ready to go home. Did y'all notice it? When he prepared to go home, he first says, here's what I'm going to say to my father. You know, when I get there, I'm going to go ahead and acknowledge I'm not worthy to be your son. I messed this thing up very badly. I sinned before heaven. I've sinned in your sight. Well, that was his humility. Where was that when he committed himself to this man in the far country? Where was that when he was feeding with the pigs? He didn't have it. See, here's what can happen sometimes. You mess up and show out, and you know you can't just walk back in like nothing happened, and you're not willing to swallow your pride and just acknowledge there is no excuse for it. You didn't make me do it. I'm responsible for myself, and I messed up. And if you're not willing to humble yourself like that, that's pride, and that will keep you out in the world, keep you out in the far country longer than you should be there. You know, there's an episode in the Old Testament, if you guys remember this. David dispatches some of his men to go to a foreign king because the king's father had died and now the son has become the king. David dispatches these men to go, and they're supposed to sort of pay their respects on David's behalf. But the young man who is now king, his advisors say, you know, these guys aren't coming because they love you and respect you. These guys are coming to kind of spy out the land. These guys don't have your best interest in heart. And so they advise the young man, and here's what he does. These men who've been dispatched from David, he shaves half of their beards off, and he cuts out their clothing in the back. And the ASV 1901 says their buttocks was exposed. They did not go right back to Jerusalem. They sent word to David, and David sends word back to them and says, here's what you do. You stay where you are until your beard grows back. Then they would be willing to return. Why didn't they return? With their behinds exposed. They were embarrassed. They were embarrassed. And see, sometimes people show their behinds on the way out, and what keeps them from coming back is they're embarrassed. Too much pride. So our young man finds himself in the far country because of his pride. He thinks he knows better than the father. Sometimes, you know what? Sometimes in the church, people say, well, wait a minute. You telling me the Bible says I'm not supposed to drink that? You telling me the Bible says I'm not supposed to go there? You telling me the Bible tells me I'm not supposed to marry folks like this, hang out with folks like this, say words like this? And listen, I just know better than the Bible. That's not going to hurt me. Might happen to somebody else. Not going to happen to me. Okay, if you don't want to do that, fine. But I know better. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know just enough to wind up in the pig pen. Just enough to be out there feeding hogs and eating what they eat. That's how much you know without the Father. Until you humble yourself. Until you humble yourself. See, you'd be too embarrassed to show up. Because you know the father's going to look at you kind of, what's wrong with this one here? Comes back still thinking crazy, still talking crazy. You know your brother's going to look at you sideways. You know the servant's going to remember, oh, you know when he left, you know he showed his behind on the way out. Yeah, pride. Listen, there's a lot of things here, but another problem that the man has is ingratitude. Ingratitude. When he goes back to the father's house, one of the things that motivates him to go is he looks and he says within his own heart, you know, how many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare? Question. Had anything changed about the circumstances in the father's house since he left? No, it was the same. When you were there, there was bread enough and to spare. You remember how it was when you were there, but when you were there, you didn't appreciate it. You know, sometimes we just take the blessings that we have for granted. Sometimes we don't appreciate how good it is when we have it. Now that your circumstances have changed, you think, well, you know what? It just wasn't quite as bad as I thought it was. It wasn't quite as bad as I used to feel like it was. When he remembered how good it was, he returned. Well, why did you leave? Because he didn't appreciate it. Sometimes I hear people, you know, talk about the bride of Christ, talk about the church, and a lot of negative things, a lot of criticisms. I mean, who said the church was perfect? I mean, the church is made up of people. It's not perfect, but you know what? It's not as bad as folks act like it is sometimes. Go on out there in the world and see what you look like when the devil gets through with you. You know, going out there in the world and see how many people are sincerely going to love you, your imperfections and all, when you can't do anything for them. See how the world is going to treat you when people aren't even trying to be who God wants them to be. Listen, I'm not everything God wants me to be, and you're not either. I don't know if you realize it, but you're not. Not everything God wants you to be, but you know what? I'd rather be in the company of people who are trying to be what God wants them to be. Get on out there in the world and see how much the heathen really cares about you. Find yourself in distress, and here it is, you tried to be a friend, what you thought was a friend to these people, and now you are in need and they won't help you at all. And the one who says, okay, fine, you want to come around here, go on out there and feed the pigs then, disgrace yourself for my amusement and benefit. Yeah, see how the devil feels about you. Then you say, well, I tell you, why, I mean, the old man wouldn't let me have that, but I tell you what, it wasn't this bad. No, listen, there are some things that I would have liked to do, and he told me no, and I guess those were for my benefit, but it'd be better for me to be in his house because, listen, the servants, the lowest in my father's house, they still have more than enough. I wonder why he left then. He had a spirit of ingratitude. He didn't appreciate it when he had it. The man was no doubt ashamed. He was ashamed that he hadn't appreciated what the father had done for him. He hadn't appreciated what the father had given to him. And he knew when he showed up, everyone would remember what he had done. Sometimes that feeling of dread and shame, it can be hard to overcome. That's what kept him from coming home. You know, another thing, though, I want to point out here, I don't want you to think that I missed it. Another thing I want to point out here is his brother, his older brother. You know, the Bible tells us that when the father sees him, he runs to meet him, and he wants to make merry because the younger son is home. The older son has a very different reaction. You guys remember in verse 25, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing, and he calls to one of the servants and inquires, what these things might be. And he says to him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. But he, the older brother, was angry and he would not go in. And his father came out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, look, these many years do I serve you and I never transgressed a commandment of yours. And yet you never gave me a kid that I could make merry with my friends. But when this, your son, has come, who has devoured your living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. And he says to him, son, you are ever with me and all that is mine is yours, but it's meet, it's proper, it's appropriate that we make merry and celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. The older brother's reaction. Question. Do you think the younger brother was surprised that not everyone was happy to see him when he came back? You think he was surprised? Oh man, you acted a fool on your way out. Oh, you told us you didn't need us anymore. Oh, you told us you were better off without us. We begged you and entreated you not to do the old man like this, and you just waved your hand at us, left us all behind. And now here you come slinking back in here. Where's the old man's stuff that you took with you? Oh, you come back broke now. Oh, you walked out of here shaved up looking right. Now you come in here dirty and ragged, don't even recognize you. You think everybody was happy to see him? Now listen, the Bible doesn't give us these details, but listen, the older brother was obviously salty about it. You think these two men who grew up together might have knew one another a little bit? You think the younger brother might have realized, boy, I tell you, my older brothers, he's probably not going to be in a hurry to see me after the way I left things. He had to face people. Not only shame, but fear. Here's what I'd like you to think about. When the younger brother is in the far country, when he's defiling himself there in the pig pen, when he has descended as low as he can go, when he's hit rock bottom, here's what I want you to see. His focus was on his father. He says to himself, I will rise, I will go to my father, and I will say to him, I don't deserve to be your son. See, I know that. I've shown out. I've acted a fool. I did not appreciate who you are and what you've done for me. I'm sorry. I'd like to come back. Now, I know it's not going to be exactly how it was before I left, but I tell you what, however it can be in your house is better than it is out there in the far country. His complete focus was on his father. He knew the brother was there. Bible doesn't tell us anything. Well, here's what I'm going to say to my brother. No, I will go back to my father. It's his house. And I'm going to make it right with my father to the best that I can. And then notice what happens. When he does get there and the older brother is not happy to see him, Bible doesn't tell us he says anything to the older brother. You know who has to deal with the older brother, don't you? The father. It's the father's house. Oh, the father goes, oh, wait a minute now. It's appropriate for us. We know what he did now. We know he messed up. We know the boy shouldn't have acted like that. Yeah, listen, I raised both of you and one of you is a fool. We know that. But it's appropriate for us to celebrate now. It's appropriate for us to make merry now. Why? Because the man has humbled himself. He's left living a life of pleasure out there in the world. Yes, he had too much pride, but now he's put that aside and he wants to come back. The man has experienced enough shame and so forth, and now he has come into our house, and here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to discourage him and make him feel unwelcome. The father has to deal with the older brother. That's not the younger brother's problem. And the father does. Listen, I appreciate the fact that you didn't act like he did. Now, I appreciate the fact that you didn't run out on your responsibilities. And what you have was coming to you. What we do for him is not going to take away from that. You're going to get all the blessings that were due to you. But right now, I want you to recognize something. What was lost is found. See, when it was a sheep, if you went out there in my field and there was a sheep that was lost, when you found it, you'd have come back rejoicing. You'd have celebrated. If it was a piece of money and you lost it, you'd have been happy to find it. You guys ever done that? You know, you put some clothes away or wash something, you go back in the pocket. Man, that's $20 in there. I didn't even know I had that. Feeling pretty good. I feel like I just hit the lottery or something, right? After $20 I didn't know was there, it's time for me to celebrate. I feel I might do something for the kids. Y'all want a Slurpee or something, ice cream? What? You know, now I'm feeling pretty good and generous, right? Well, you going to do that for a sheep? You going to do that for your dog or your cat was lost and now you found it, now you want to celebrate? You going to do that for a piece of money? What about your brother? You're not going to do any less. You're not going to do any less. Father has to deal with that. So he does. Now what's the point? Jesus is trying to help us see what kingdom living is all about. We ought to be repentant about sin because the Father rejoices when we are. There are some things that will keep us in places we shouldn't be, with people we shouldn't be with, doing things we ought not to do. There are some things that will keep us where we should not be. That includes, of course, our seeking after pleasure, having too much pride, a spirit of dissatisfaction, the shame that can come about, and our fear about how other people will receive us. Mm-mm. You get up and leave all of that. You leave pleasure behind the way Moses did. You humble yourself. Don't be taken away by pride. You remind yourself how good it is in the Father's house so that you don't have a spirit of dissatisfaction. Yes, you'll be ashamed, but you're going to have to get over that and you're going to have to worry about what the Father thinks and not what everybody else thinks. And you just come on back out of your sin. You just come on back home out of your sin. When you do that, the Father rejoices. And sometimes things people can't see. You know, you get up and show your behind and walk out the door, everybody can see that. But sometimes you can stay right here and misbehave. And nobody around you knows it, but the Father does. And it's the same. It's the same. See, the father has to go to the brother who was at home and straighten him out. He never left, but he was not straight, and the father had to straighten him out. Sometimes you can sit right in the house and still not be what you should be. Here's my encouragement to you. This is what kingdom living is about. It's not about behaving as if you have it all together. No, you don't. Hopefully you got most of it together, but you don't have it all together. If you want to please your father, then you look and say, this is what my father expects of me in his house. These are the rules he has given me, the guidelines he has given me, the barriers he has put up for my protection. And if I find that I'm not abiding within the constraints that he has given me, I need to change my heart, change my mind, humble myself, and repent of my sin, and he will rejoice, even if other people take a while to come around. Is that making sense to you? Yeah, that's what kingdom living is about. Repentant about your sin, because God, the Father, rejoices when you walk away from the slop and the slime of the world. Any questions or thoughts, compelling observations you want to make about that? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is the celebration is in large part about the Father celebrating his forgiveness. You know, listen, if the king says it's time to celebrate. What ought the citizens to do? Hey, you celebrate with the king. I mean, the king says this is a cause for us to make merry. I mean, he's not going to party by himself. He's not going to celebrate by himself. If the father says this is cause to celebrate, what ought the children to do? Yeah, we celebrate too. We celebrate too. Oh. That's a great question. If you didn't hear it, the question is there anything that we should maybe take note of about the fact that they didn't go after him, right? They probably know where he is, and they don't go after him. That's a great question. Listen to this. The young man is a grown man. He goes to the father and asks the father to give him something he wasn't entitled to at the moment. The father does something he didn't have to do by giving it to him. Now, what should we notice about that? You know, you have your own mind. You make your own decisions. Father tells you what's good and what's best and what's right. And at certain points in times, we, as children of the Father, we just have to make our own decisions. And he will allow us to make bad decisions at times and have to deal with the consequences of our bad decisions, always in the hope that we will see for ourselves what we couldn't see before and come back. God doesn't make us do anything, though he can. The Father could have forbid the Son, restrained the Son, but this was a grown man. He had to make his own decisions. And he had to deal with the consequences of those decisions. It's the same way in the church. It's the same way. God could make us, but he doesn't. He tells us, he warns us, he guides us. And you know what we do, don't you? Every now and again, we show our behind. Every now and again, we act up. And hopefully, we learn from our mistakes. What I sometimes tell people is you're going to learn some lessons the hard way. Wish you wouldn't, right? I got two kids. I don't want them to have to learn certain things the way I learned them because, hey, you might not survive learning some things the way I learned them. You're going to learn some lessons the hard way. But here's what I hope for you. Here's what I pray. You don't have to learn them twice. Make that mistake. Learn from it. Don't ever forget it. Move forward. If you do that, you'll be better for the mistake that you made. God gives us that much freedom. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, he says that in Galatians 6, right? That's right. That's a good point. The parables, sometimes we go into every detail and try to do too much with them. Jesus is making one point, and that is about the value of lost things and the fact that God rejoices when lost things are found. Yes, ma'am. He was always hoping for him to come back. You know, think about it. When the boy gets ready to go, I'm sure the father tried to dissuade him, right? I'd imagine the older brother tried to dissuade him. Some of the servants on his way off the land, like, you sure this is a good idea? You know, yeah, I'm gone. I'm gone. I ain't never coming back. Okay, well, you know, always hopeful, though, that you would change your mind. God loves us that much. See, I could say too much. I'm going to leave it here. But listen, you know, a parent, particularly a mom, I'm biased, you know, but a parent will love you even after you have shown disrespect, disregarded them, showed your behind. Your parents will love you anyway. Not everybody's going to love you like that. Not everybody's going to receive you like that. I've seen this in my own family. Boy, you go out there and just act a fool. No home training at all. You know, nobody ever loved you. Nobody ever taken care of you. Go on out there and act a fool. Get yourself locked up and everything else. And you know what? We're going to take you back. My grandmother would always say, "He's still mine." That's how God feels about us. He's still mine. We're going to leave it right there. I thank y'all for your time and attention this morning. I know we had to take a break, and then we'll try again after that.